Let's say you have a web application and you want to make some changes to improve it. You may want to do some A/B testing to it first to make sure you are really improving things. But really, what is A/B testing? That's what we'll be finding out about in this episode with Lima Nasseri. Welcome to Test and Code. If you've found value in this podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go over to pythontest.com and look either in the top menu bar or in the bottom footer? And there's a few links we're going to talk about. Contact is how you can get a hold of me. Newsletter is how I can get a hold of you. And support is how you can find links to things like my book, the PyTest book, PyTest courses, the community where you can ask questions. And that's about it, really. I'd really appreciate if, especially if you could sign up for the newsletter. I'm trying to collect emails of people that might be interested in similar topics. I'm excited to have today on Test and Code, Lima Nasseri. She's joined me we're going to talk about A/B testing. I can't believe that I've gotten so many episodes in and we haven't talked about A/B testing. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi. And I'm excited to chat about A/B testing.
You have a really kind of an interesting background, I think. So tell me who you are.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for the intro. So my background, I guess you could say it's interesting. I don't know if it's that interesting, but I've spent like the last 9 or so years at Comcast, essentially working on software development in one way or another, whether I was like an engineer, a lead engineer, a manager, a director, or back to a manager. So I kind of made like the joke is personally, I don't know if anyone finds this funny, but I've made my own rotational program at Comcast to an extent. Like I've moved every like 2 years or so to a different team. But the majority of my experience has been in one way or another, working on web services or, you know, platforms to help improve our content discovery platform. So that's like how people get to watching TV shows or movies, when they watch TV via Comcast cable. And then most recently, and specific to this topic, like the past 3 years, my focus has been on all things A/B testing and how to, you know, measure different experiences to improve the, you know, the product.
Okay, so A/B testing is really crucial to your role right now?
Yeah, definitely. In a nutshell, like my team supported, or at least supported building algorithms to improve how we, you know, surface TV shows or movies. And then specific to that, how do we measure, you know, the way we change an algorithm is via A/B testing to make sure that we've improved that experience and not degraded it.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. When I think of A/B testing, I think of like people changing something on a website, and we'll get into really what it is.
Yeah, that's the traditional. I mean, I think that's usually what I think too, is like an e-commerce website or something like that.
Yeah. So are you doing, is the A/B testing you're doing within the, like when I'm on my Comcast remote looking at the stuff on the TV, or is it through the website or?
Yeah. It's like, it's all the above. I mean, I think at Comcast, we're trying to do it all the above. We're trying to not only A/B test the things that you see when you like look at your TV, but also when you're like on the browser or on your mobile device, and also navigating the content, or even just like navigating with how you use like your broadband internet. There's so many like everything in a nutshell. Most things should be A/B tested, especially when they're like customer facing. Yeah. And that's kind of the goal at Comcast. Is not my focus. Majority of my focus has been on the TV experience, but I know in general here, there are other teams focusing on the different platforms or products.
Okay. Well, let's back up a little bit. If nobody's ever heard of A/B testing,
yeah,
what is it?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like, I think at a high level, or in its most like simplest form, it's like one way to think about it, it's a way to experiment. Another way to think about it is it's simply like comparing two different versions of something. So when I mean version, I mean like you have a control, which is like the original way your website, for example, looked. And then you have a variation or test, and that's like the new way. And you want to make sure that you test those experiences against each other so that you're not degrading the experience for the customer. Similar to how you test your code, like how you write unit tests and how you write functional tests and regression testing and integration tests. Once all that's done, once you've actually validated that your code works, I think the next natural thing once into production is making sure that you're testing it so that your users like it, right?
Yeah, and I'm actually thinking that it might be more like optimization stuff. So if you profile a piece of code to, and you have to measure it ahead of time to figure out how fast something is. If you're right. If you're trying to speed it up, you make a change to see if it's really faster or slower
right.
or something.
Right. Yeah. Very similar. Exactly.
So it's like A/B testing, but it's really it's the current state versus a change is
yeah.
off. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, so, and I don't know if you've been hearing this, this term in your world, but everyone keeps saying they want to make more quote unquote data driven decisions.
Yes.
And one way to do that is via A/B testing. I mean, so like when you work on a platform that in one way or another, like a user or a human interacts with, you want to make sure that the changes that you iterate or that how you iterate on your platform is, you know, in fact, good for them. And how do you do that? Do you base it on like feelings? Do you base it on like, I feel like moving this button from the left to the right is better for the user? Or do you base it on like, I think it is, but let's test it out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like I really love Macs, but I wish I could go back in time to where Windows and Mac kind of diverged and
yeah.
get them to decide whether or not the menu bar is attached to the window or on the top of the screen.
Right.
And just pick one.
That's it. Exactly. When you said Mac, the first use case that came to my head is the space bar. I've been struggling hardcore with my space bar. I wish they somehow, and this is not really A/B testing, I wish they kind of just tested it. They like stress tested it. I don't know. Do you have the MacBook Pro from like, that's not from like 4 years ago? Do you have a problem with your space bar?
I don't. What's wrong with the space bar?
It doesn't work correctly. Like I'll do one space and then it'll like five spaces will happen.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyways, there's a different, that would be stress testing, I feel.
Yeah. The issue I've got is I end up don't have my hands up high enough in the air and my thumbs will hit the trackpad and move the cursor to some random place in the text.
And then you'll just start. Yep. No, I've seen that happen before, but I've not personally experienced that.
And I know there's a setting to say, ignore the trackpad if I've been typing recently.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember where that is, so I'm gonna have to Google it again.
It's hard to find settings.
Okay, so when you say you're measuring to data driven, trying to make the user experience better,
yeah,
you have to measure something then.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you measure?
That's a great question. So there's definitely data. So there's first you need something to test, and then you need to make sure you have a question in mind. So you want to make sure you have a hypothesis of some sort, and then you want to like validate that. So let's say my hypothesis is like, well, this is the simplest use case. Like I'm going to move a button from the left to the right, and I'm going to say that just moving that button is going to increase people buying stuff from my website. Well, what's your metric? You know what I mean? Like, how are you going to measure that indeed is the case? There's one way to do that is like, well, for your test segment. So for the people that are getting this new experience, do you see an increase in transactions? Like, do you see more people buying stuff because of that change you made? Another way to measure it is, well, are people taking longer to buy stuff? Like, is this moving this button? Is this resulting in sessions that are longer than the control, longer than when the button was on the other side? So it's important to understand like a conversion rate or some sort of engagement metric to validate your hypothesis or your what you're trying to test, essentially.
Yeah, there might be actually different metrics that might not all be going in the same direction.
Right, for sure. And I think that's why it's important to think like somewhat holistically of what you're testing. And I know this is something that we've done at Comcast where we'll make one change to one specific part of our product, but we also want to make sure this one change isn't like, you know, stealing traffic away from other ways of doing something. So like you want to, like two things, like you can have a lot. This is one pitfall of the A/B testing. You can get stuck in like, all you do is figuring out metrics and data to validate your test. And then the other route is you could have too little data and you can only be looking at one way of slicing your results. And that's kind of that's not the bigger picture.
I can imagine somebody, a change that makes it so that people add things to their cart and purchase things faster.
Yeah.
But but at the same time, people are spending, oddly enough, less time on your site and buying fewer things. So right. in total, you're making less money.
Right. So I think it's really important to like think about the like, and I'm an engineer, so I don't want to sound like I'm a product person, but like it is important to like think about your like business at a like at a whole. Like I think every change is important, especially when you're running a business. So you have to understand your product to an extent is what I'm saying. Like it takes time. Like A/B testing is expensive. Like you have to really think. Like it's not something for, I'm not very patient, but like you need patience with A/B testing, you know?
Why is it expensive? What do you mean by that?
Like it takes time. Like I think there's like two ways to think about it. Like you could just build a feature, make a bunch of changes to your platform, ship it. And you could be like, well, I like it. It looks great. We all agree. And that's not good because you could be degrading the experience. But on the other hand, you could build a feature, spend time on figuring out the proper A/B tests, and then run the A/B tests. That means that your feature is not then released for another, like, let's pretend 3 months. So I think it's like time and resources is what I mean by expensive. Like it takes time to run an A/B test. It takes time to like look at your metrics, to build the right segments, to make sure that you're really looking at the bigger picture when you're making a change. And like I think most humans, or at least myself, I'm not very patient, and I kind of just want, sometimes I just want the change to go out. So it is expensive in the sense of like resourcing and time.
Okay.
You do have to figure out what you want to do.
What you brought up, segments, what does that mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. So when we talk about A/B testing, I did mention earlier how it's a you're measuring a change. And how do you measure that change? You have your old experience, and then you have the new variation test experience that you want to validate. So what you do is you have essentially two segments or two sample groups or two sets of users. And for one set or one segment, you give them the control experience. And then for another segment, you give them the new experience. So it's kind of just, it's what we like, they're called segments. They can be called cohorts or audience segments. But it's the sample of subscribers or samples of customers that you're validating these changes against.
So do you do this just like half the people, or do you pick people from the West Coast versus the East Coast, or?
That's a great question too. Yeah. So I think it depends on your feature, like what you're trying to test, but you do have to be cognizant, or you have to be careful in how big your segment is. You don't want it to be too small such that it's not statistically significant. And what I mean by that, you'll hear people say that word all the time. If you want to pretend like you know stuff about A/B testing, just throw the word statistically significant, conversion rate, and sample size. And everyone will be like, oh, this person knows what they're talking about. So you want the number of, you know, customers or users that are going to get this experience, you want that to be big enough such that your conversion rate is valid. So you don't want to like give it to five people and like, that's not enough. Like maybe those five people like have totally different user behaviors and it's not valid. Like it's just, it's, there's bias in the data, or it's just not enough to really measure that. Like maybe like this is a good feature or not, or like it goes around like your conversion rate. How are you actually going to get enough data to figure out if this is valid?
They suddenly have like somebody might just suddenly have like a family reunion and they're watching tons of movies.
Exactly. Yeah. And that brings a great point. This is something that is really important at Comcast or any platform. There's seasonality. Like there's not the family reunion, but there's like holidays, you know. Do you want to run when you run your A/B test is very important. Should you run your A/B test during a holiday where everyone is home? Probably not. I mean, you could, but then also make sure to run it a little bit longer past the holidays. So you get like, you avoid that seasonality or the change in user behavior because of the time of year.
Okay, so let's say I take like 10% of my customers,
yeah,
do this, and it looks like it's good. So do you just roll it out at that point, or do you do a larger segment?
I think that's an also very good question. It depends. At least from my experience, we've allocated more accounts or more subscribers or more users to validate that we see similar patterns. So it's not just this like 10%, let's like double it to 20% and validate. Okay, 20%, the conversion rate that we saw or the engagement that we saw with the 10%, it's the same. But I play it safe, or we play it safe. You could probably, if the 10% is statistically significant, sure, go for it. I think it depends on the team itself. Another reason to play it safe though too is if like, let's say you're introducing a new web service or a new feature into your like engineering ecosystem. It could be a good way to validate that you can handle the traffic. You can handle the load that you're then introducing to this new feature. So I think it's best to, like, once you've tested against the 10%, I don't think it hurts to then do like a incremental rollout to 20%, validate that the metrics are the same, and then that your platform can handle that.
And then do you also do like real time in production monitoring, so that once you roll out a feature completely, you still have the opportunity to roll it back if like things crash or?
Yeah, no, that's a really great question too. I personally have not built a platform that can do that, but it's kind of like the dream is to have a platform where you're consistently monitoring how things are doing, and then you have triggers, or you have ways to, like, kind of like circuit breakers or something. You see some things it's not as it should be, then you can quickly roll back. Okay. And I think there are tools, or there are frameworks in the A/B testing world that do that for you. But the one we built at Comcast previously was in-house, so we didn't build that feature yet.
Okay.
But I think that makes sense. It's similar to how, like, you'd want the same thing when you just deploy code in general. You'd want to easily roll back if you see something that's not to what you expect, right?
Yeah. I know it's different models for mm-hmm. different applications, but it's similar idea. So mm-hmm. the decision on if things are going well, mm-hmm. and then whether to roll out or increase or whatever, is mm-hmm. is that done by people now? Or do you have a system taking care of that?
From my experience, it's done by people. I know that there are platforms that can do that, like, programmatically. But at least from my experience, at least at Comcast, there's usually been like a review process, which is kind of old school. But there are a lot of stakeholders when it comes to A/B tests here. And there's a lot of kind of like checks and balances. Like, everyone wants to make sure that this test is valid, and that, like, the metrics are valid, and that we're not forgetting about, like, one specific part of the platform. Like, we're also measuring, again, that whole construct of, like, holistically looking at what your change is doing to the product. So in my experience, it's been more manual, but I know that there are platforms out there that once things look good, it goes, you know.
Do you do multiple experiments at once?
That's a good question. Multiple experiments at once. I think it depends. Technically, you can run as many experiments on your platform that it allows you to run, as long as they're not on the same segment of customers or on the same page. But I think the one thing to be careful with is if one experiment affects the outcomes of the other, you might get results that are kind of useless. And what I mean by that is, let's say you have a page and you've got two A/B tests that you want to run on that one page. If you make two changes to that page and you happen to have accounts, or you happen to have customers that are in both those segments, how do you know which experience increased or improved your conversion rate?
Right. There's probably some data people that can figure that out, but
I agree. Yeah, I'm not, that's one thing I wish I did. I wish I paid more attention in college to in statistics. I feel like it's used so often, and I like undervalued that class.
Yeah. I mean, I got calculus was required, but statistics wasn't. What gives? I've never used calculus.
Right. And I remember taking the statistics class like my senior year, and I was like already checked out. I was like, this is something I should have taken like freshman year when I was fresh and like paying attention to everything.
Statistics was horrible for me. It was a 4 o'clock in the afternoon, fourth floor of a 100-year-old building.
That sounds terrible.
And
the 4 o'clock part sounds terrible.
And I think it was a 100-year-old teacher also.
Oh, no.
And I got like 2 days into the class, and I'm like, there's no way. I'm not sleeping through this. So I dropped it.
Yeah. That's like the psychology class. I dropped psychology because it was one of those like extra, what are those called? The electives.
But that would have been good too. Like some basic psychology. I wish I would have taken that.
I think there's a lot like that I wish I focused on in college. Like even just like normal, like history. I don't know much about history. There's like, I took like history in school, like in a high school, but it was kind of one of those things, like, I just need to pass it so that I can go like enjoy math class.
That's
or,
like, awesome.
Physics or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, I wish I just knew more now. I feel like the older I get, the more I want to know. And the less value, I valued learning less when I was younger. Now I just want to learn everything.
Yeah. Don't you wish you had, and like people blowing out school now, high school kids. I'm like, what do you mean? This is the last time you're ever going to get a free education.
Right. No, that's a great point. But it's like so undervalued. Like, I mean, did you think of that when you were in high school?
No, I thought of it as a game.
Who, exactly. It's like, I just need to get an A and then go to the next thing.
Yeah. If I can learn nothing and still get an A, I would do that.
Exactly. That was me. so anyway, so the whole statistical aspect, yeah, like that's definitely like, it's just, I guess you just have to be careful. Like, I think one way that you can run as many A/B tests that you want to run, if they're all on different pages, sure. Like you're not going to impact the results if you're testing it in different parts of your product.
Well, and let's say I'm like a startup or a small business and it's just like mm-hmm. me or something. Yeah. I know that there's tools for just like web apps and websites
that
I can do A/B testing, but it's just going to report back to me. And then I have to decide to go and make the change whenever I decide to. Yeah. So, and I'm sure I'll get a whole bunch of people that contact me and tell me all the other ways to do it. And
yeah, that's what I'm curious. Well, people will be like, yeah, now I hear you.
I was curious, you wrote down in some of our notes that you might have some case studies, from podcasts that you could share.
Yeah, definitely. I have one that I thought was really interesting. So we did an A/B test where we introduced this like more personalized experience into our like video platform, meaning like it was just a more personalized page that you can say. I'm trying to like talk, like if you don't know the product, I'm just trying to make it sound simpler. And this page just returned like the TV shows that you would like and the movies that you would like. So it's geared towards you. And we ran this A/B test. And I thought the most interesting aspect of running this A/B test was when we are analyzing the data. So when we were initially analyzing the data, we were looking at our segments. We had a test and our control segments, and we saw like an increase in engagement. So like we saw that more people were watching TV, for example, with the new personalized experience. And that's what you expect, right? But it was like about like 4%. And like that, we didn't feel like that was a lot. Like this, it's a whole page just for you. Like, you know, like it's based on like what we think you'll like based on what you've previously watched on our platform. It seems like this should just be like a home run, right? So I remember thinking like, this is surprising that it's only 4-ish, 5% increase. And then while like thinking about this, what we did is we decided to take our segments and then break up those segments into different cohorts. So what I mean by that is we looked at the data and we were like, well, let's see if we could find commonality within our segments and then look at our conversion rate. So we found customers that like watched more TV, and we did analysis on like they watched more TV on demand. And then we saw customers that watched more, like for example, TV on live, like linear, we call it linear TV. So TV that's not pre-available for you. It's on live right now. And what we found is if we broke that segment down into different traits, that the conversion rate was different. So people who watch more on demand, and this new page was available based in the on demand menu, we found that those customers saw like a 21% increase in their conversion rate. I thought that was really interesting was like, and this is probably something again that like researchers or statisticians would figure out to do like from the start of the A/B test. But it was interesting that we saw like a smaller conversion rate initially, and then once we analyzed like traits about those customers and then did the analysis again, that specific types of users had like a higher increase in the engagements or whatever, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, there's some people that are just never going to use on demand.
Right. And then if you include that in your account, in your segments, it kind of like, you know, decreased our conversion rate.
Interesting.
If that makes sense.
I mean, yeah, because like, I mean, Comcast that's a big sort of market. There's all sorts of people that interact with TV.
Right. Right.
Both in new ways and old ways. Whereas like, if you were a Netflix, there's no live TV on Netflix.
So. Yeah. It's just like an on demand aspect. Right. Exactly. I was wondering how long is it going to take for the word Netflix to be mentioned?
Well, I mean,
so you did it. I don't know how long we've been in this conversation, but you brought it in.
Sorry. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, it's a joke. It's a joke.
no, I have a funny Netflix story, but,
Oh yeah. Save that for later.
But they do
A/B testing and they do it well. So that's pretty cool.
I had another question. So I'd like to hear more stories, but I was curious about in the Comcast case, how long are these experiments? Do you run them for 2 weeks, a month?
That's a great question. I think it depends on the use case that we're testing. For this test where we're introducing the highly personalized experience, it was a few months. Like, it did take a while, but that was like for various reasons. I mean, we started it kind of during the holidays, so we wanted to see results past the holidays, that whole seasonality aspect. And then also we did do what we kind of spoke about earlier is like it was available for X number of accounts or X number of subscribers. We did do something similar where we doubled it. And then we wanted to ensure that doubling it, we still saw those same usage patterns. Okay. So that one did take a while, but it also was one of our first real big A/B tests. And similar to what I said earlier, we also introduced a new web service. New infrastructure, new component into our ecosystem. So we also wanted to validate that could handle traffic as expected.
Oh yeah. Okay. Any other cool case studies?
That one I think was our coolest. We did run a case study. We did run an A/B test where we were testing just one row. And I thought what was super interesting when we did that analysis was to see which like placement in the row matters a lot. So like, let's say you have a row of content, meaning like you have like 10 different TV shows, in one row. And I remember when we were looking at the data, and this is kind of where like, it's just, there's so much data to look at. You can be in like analysis paralysis or whatever we would call it. But I remember the interesting aspect of doing an A/B test with just one row was it was interesting to analyze the data and see like if we, which should we put the best TV show for you? Should we put it in the like second spot, or should we put it in the like in the spot right underneath the first? Meaning, like, are customers more likely to go navigate with their remote to the left or down, or to the right or down? Hmm. So it was just interesting how you could analyze the data and figure out the best placement for content. But then again, like, I think that's the best part about A/B testing is you can make more data-driven decisions, which is kind of the goal, I think, in life, is make informed decisions on what you're doing.
Now, there's, speaking of analysis paralysis, does every change go through A/B testing, or do some changes just,
that's a really good question,
fixes or whatever?
I mean, yeah, definitely the latter of that statement. Everything, some changes just make sense. You know what I mean? Like, it's, and there's also ways to make changes without doing A/B testing. I guess I could have talked about that earlier, but you can make an informative change. Like, you could do qualitative analysis. I know we have UX researchers that, you know, study how, get a group of human beings and see how they interact with the platform and then make decisions on how to change the product based on qualitative analysis. But you could also do like with algorithms, if you don't want to A/B test, you could do what we call offline evaluations. And that's just evaluations using some specific metric that's specific to your platform or your algorithm to measure, is this algorithmic change going to still return good results? So there are ways to evaluate changes without A/B testing. And there is the whole, again, because it is expensive. So if it's blatantly clear that there is a specific part of your site that's like sucks, just change it. And then you can measure the impact of that change before, you can like take data before you made that change, take data after you made that change, and kind of gauge like, was this a good change? If you know what I mean?
Yeah. And since it's a content platform, is A/B testing ever coming in with things like what content to have and highlight and what descriptions of the shows and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's like a big aspect of it. That's not something that I've personally had experience, but I know that there are companies and teams and platforms that are doing that. Like, just the way, and I had a recent conversation with someone about this, like, you could have the best algorithm, but if you're not surfacing it in the correct way, it doesn't matter. Meaning, like, your words and how you represent the data that the customer sees is very important. You know, like, if you could say for you, or you could say like, I can't think of another way to say for you, but like it's the context in which an algorithm is used should be A/B tested. Like you should figure out like what's the best way to represent this TV show, you know, or what's the best way to represent the metadata around an asset or the metadata around a movie or TV show that the customer sees that's more compelling or more likely for the customer to click on it or to have some conversion rate.
Yeah, I'm just skimming through and you've got like, there's a picture of the show and.
Right. There's a lot of picture. I mean, I know that's something that I've seen other streaming platforms do. So they'll A/B test just the images that are surfaced to them.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. There's a rabbit hole there.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I haven't done that, but that definitely seems like you could take different images of like the TV show and like if there's a darker one, if this person's more likely to watch like crime or you know scary TV shows.
Okay, so is this fun for you? I mean,
is what fun talking about A/B testing or doing A/B testing?
Well, just in the role of being involved with the A/B testing part of Comcast is.
Yeah, it's super fun. Definitely, I recently switched into our like broadband part of the world and. One of my goals is to figure out how we can run more A/B tests simply with like the apps that help customers like navigate their like Wi-Fi or their like internet experience. I think A/B testing is super fun. I think the act of having a question and then seeing if that question or having a thought and then validating that thought with data is a fun experience.
Yeah. I kind of wish more of our life was like that.
Make two decisions and then you could like undo one decision based on data. You know, yeah, that'd be super cool.
we just moved into a new building at work. And so, like if they could A/B test, the width of the steps on the.
Yeah, that's a great one.
That'd be cool. Except for they'd have to.
That seems like a safe thing to do.
Well, yeah, it might be a little expensive to just try it out and then rip out the stairs if it doesn't
right.
matter.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. A/B testing is expensive.
Yeah, you got to implement the feature, even if you end up not keeping it.
Right, and that's a big part of it is like you can't get attached to features. Like you could easily like throw away the feature that like irregardless of the staircase example we're talking about. Yeah. Like there could be an A/B test that results in like a bad conversion rate. You have to be okay with throwing away that code as long as you learn something from it. I guess it's okay, you know.
Yeah. So how often do changes go into the Comcast platform?
Oh, that's a great question.
Are they going in daily or?
Yeah, I think it depends on the team. I mean, I know there are teams that do somewhat daily releases. I know there are teams that do monthly releases. I know there are teams that do quarterly releases. It kind of just depends on what team you're on. The team I'm on now that's specific to broadband or your Wi-Fi network, we do a release every Thursday.
Okay.
So it kind of just depends. But then the team that I was on previously, the personalization team, we kind of did a release whenever we needed it. I mean, I remember there was one week where we literally did a release every day in preparation for this feature that we were rolling out. So it depends.
Okay. And these are full releases to customer and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yep.
Cool. Yeah. It's a different world.
I've only known this world, so I don't know how it is on the other side.
Well, I mean, we've got... I ship software that goes to instruments and the customer has to download the file and load it onto their instrument. So
that's interesting. They would
kill us that. if we released every day.
And do you have to, I guess, can you force an update or?
They're not connected to the internet. So.
Oh, whoa. So your changes when they go, they go. Or I mean, like they could potentially have code on their devices or I guess instruments from like 5 years ago.
Yep, and then also that there's no way the other world where you can do metrics on what people use and stuff. Mm-hmm. We don't have that. So
that's really interesting. I've never thought about that side of the software world.
Like your car. I mean, I don't know. Your car probably now does report back to.
Yeah, I think so. It's like diagnostics or something like that, right? Isn't that something that's always doesn't like Microsoft or something always ask you like, can we send like data to like track how things are doing or something like that for diagnostics?
Right. But my car's never done that for me.
Oh, I don't own a car, but I'm sure that they do that at this point. Maybe Teslas.
Teslas probably, well, they probably do.
Yeah.
If Tesla blew up, all the cars would just stop or something.
Right. Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, I know so much more about A/B testing now. So
cool.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. It was fun.
Thank you for listening to Test & Code. Let's keep in touch. Head over to pythontest.com/contact to reach out to me, or /newsletter so that I can reach you, or /support if you'd like to, you know, get a course or something. That's all for now. Now go out and test something.